Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your presence is evident. Now we ask you, speak to us, speak through us. May we hear from you. Asking you, Holy Spirit, to give us a glimpse. Give us, open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our mind, that we may see Jesus. See Jesus clearly this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's a little bit different today. I know it's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I don't know, there might be people that don't come to church here any longer because we refer to it as Easter, but that's okay. It is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. Yeah. Day we celebrate our risen Savior, risen Christ, the risen Jesus. And today as we celebrate this day we're going to partake in communion. So I'm going to talk about that from basically front to end and what that is and what it looks like. But if you will allow yourself to go with me for a little bit of a small journey, and it's in this journey, because to get to communion, we have to actually understand what that is. And I believe that in understanding what that is, primarily from Scripture, but I'm going to give you some visuals also that I'll have to prepare you for that. The Lord did something again. I love when He does this, and He does this by His Spirit. He gives me, and I know He does this to each of us too, as we walk this walk of faith, as we walk with Jesus, walk through life. It seems like I have discovered so much about Jesus that I can't love Him any longer or any more than I do. He shows me just another glimpse, another picture of His grace and His mercy and His love for us that I think, wow, I thought that I loved you as much as I possibly could, and then you showed me this, and now I love you even more. And that was just this week. And I'm thinking, what's in store next week or this day? And this is amazing. This walk with God is so much fun. Hello? Oh, I don't know if I got a couple of nods. That's all right. You and I, we'll have a little conversation, Mike, over here. No, it's good. Just to join me in this walk with God, if you will. I believe that God, by His Spirit, will give you so much love for Him, that so much desire in your heart to want to know Him, to want to feel Him, to want to sense Him, to want to obey Him and walk with Him, that you will not have anything else in your mind and in your heart that will be able to take its place. If you go there, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, I got a few verses, 11 through 23 through 26. This is Paul, and he's writing this letter to the Corinthians because there are some issues that were taking place as they were celebrating their communion services, and it turned into more of a drunken feast of gluttony. And as it turned into that, he said, hold on a second, guys, come on. Come on, we are the church of the living Savior. Let's get this back in order. So if you guys are with me, that's what he's kind of doing this, and not that we turned it into that, but because we haven't. But in getting the Corinthian church back in straightness, in order, in the truth, in who Jesus is, he went straight to Jesus as true. And he said, okay, here's what happens as we take communion. Verse 23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, but hold on, let's pause there for a second, because this is, I cannot discuss this, go past this just lightly. Listen to what he said here. Listen to what Paul said. On the same night that he was betrayed. Do you know what that betrayal looked like? That betrayal looked like a faithful follower of his that betrayed him. that accused him. Listen what happens in this. Have you ever felt misunderstood? Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever actually been accused falsely of something in your life by somebody that, how about this, somebody that was close to you, somebody that should have been a supporter of yours? Have you ever been there? Listen, because here's what Jesus did. If you'll follow me with me for a second, he, on the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. He gave thanks right smack in the midst of his betrayal, right in the midst of his pain. He gave thanks to God. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, I want to, let's just discuss this. Do you think that there's something that is to be said as Jesus is encouraging us to do something to remember Jesus and what Jesus had done for us? I believe that there's a very real, and when I say real, I mean there's actually something that's happening when we bring into our mind, the forefront of our mind, in remembering Christ and remembering Jesus. What I'm saying in this also is that there's a real live devil, a real live enemy that is warring against your very soul and against your mind. And where does he attack? In the places of your mind. Where does he attack mostly? I'm going to tell you where he attacks mostly is in your memories. Is in your memories. And he likes to bring up bad memories of things in your life and bring them up and say, look at you, you worthless piece of garbage. It's a bad. So if the enemy is very aggressive in attacking your memories, because we know that Jesus is saying, do something that is graceful, that is full of life in remembering what I did for you. Hello? This is your part as a soldier for Christ. Your part as a Christian, as a believer, is do this in remembrance of me. If you fail to do this, if you fail to remember Christ and his blood that was shed for you, if you keep forgetting about that and remember, well, my sin is, it's too great. I've blown it again and again, and I'm just going to keep blowing it. Where did you get, you've just given over to an enemy that has been defeated. That has been defeated. Let's do something that Jesus said to do in remembrance. In remembering Jesus, we're actually warring against, we're aligning ourselves with victory. Victory in our own mind. I know it seems, to some of us it might seem like an impossible thing that can actually happen today, that you can have victory in your mind, that your mind can be transformed. Have you felt like that before? Where my mind has taken me so far down the depths of darkness that I don't feel like it is restorable. It's gone. Anybody else ever felt like that? I know I have. Come on, brothers and sisters. So do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Listen to this. It gets better. This is really gets good. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What does proclaim mean? To broadcast publicly and actually do something even more so is make a stance and make a statement that this is what I stand on. I am standing on this and I am not moving, and I am broadcasting it. I am announcing it publicly that this is where I stand. Hallelujah. With that, there's no allowance for, make sure nobody sees me do this Christian thing. Ooh, I got to make sure, man, I'm going to park way like three blocks over. Because if I park a block over, there's a church there. If I park that block over that way, there's a church there. But if I'll park over in the Awfully Anna's parking lot and pretend, take the back alley so nobody sees me coming to church, right? Absolutely not. Even as you come into this building, as you come into the presence of the Lord, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes is this. You're proclaiming, announcing, declaring the statement that I am standing on the bought, my I am paid for by Jesus' blood and his body that was broken and his blood that was shed for me. I'm standing on that and I'm proclaiming it. That is my only form of salvation is in Jesus. Hello? Hello. And this, until he comes, listen, you guys understand something real quick? You guys following with me? You know, when you say yes to Jesus, God by his Holy Spirit, God in his Holy Spirit, as he reveals and opens up to you, reveals, uncovers your need for a Savior. Basically, and that what that entails is, I come to this place of realizing I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And Jesus is that only Savior. And when I say yes to him, and that first point of salvation, when we say yes to him, he salvation has now settled in me, has come in me. I am now saved by the grace of God through the faith that he instills within me to see Jesus and open my heart to him. You understand that? That's, you are being saved at that point. You're saved because Jesus died on a cross for you and was risen around 2,000 years ago. That salvation has taken place there. Do you realize also, I'm going to say that you are being saved? You are being saved. You have been saved. You are being saved. Salvation is taking place inside of you. That's why he tells us in Scripture, he tells us to continue to work out your salvation because it's a process. It's continuing. Hello? As I open up and shared that there's always something new that God is showing me and sharing with me and revealing to me about Jesus. I love to just look at Jesus. And I always want to find new ways, not new as in like, ooh, nobody's seen Jesus like that before, but a new way where I haven't seen Jesus in that light before, and God reveals Jesus to me in new lights, and it's awesome. That's a continued working out of salvation in my own life. Hello? Anybody else go through that too on a regular basis? Come on, brothers and sisters. Man, I'm really getting excited about this. But here's the thing is you haven't been completely saved yet. So you've been saved, you're being saved, and guess what? You're going to be completely saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're not done yet. This isn't a glorified body. Amen. Thank you. Now I get you involved in it. Yeah, absolutely. And none of you have got one yet, but you will, and you will have one. And that's when your salvation will be complete. So that's why we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We continue to look to Jesus for our salvation, for our saving, until we are completely saved. Isaiah 53, verse 5. This is what it looks like. He was wounded in our place for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. I want us to take this, and this is the level that I'm going to share with you that I believe that God took me to this week, just this last week. You guys, we've always heard that Jesus died for my sins, correct? We've heard that statement probably a good million times maybe. Maybe some of you only heard it a dozen times. But here's a different place that I felt like the Lord was taking me, is that, yes, he died for my sins, but he died in my place for my sins. The death that was meant for me, he took upon himself. The bruises that were meant for me, he took upon himself. The stripes, the beatings that were meant for me, he took upon himself for my healing. And that healing consists of physical ailments, but so much of it is made up of the healing of my mind, the transforming of my mind, to be able to see clearly, to think rightly, to think straightly, and process things as God has me to process them. You guys following with me on this? And there's so much healing in the mind when that takes place, that all of the things, when that does actually come about, that when I see this as by His stripes I am healed. In fact, Peter wrote it like this: by His stripes we were healed. So Peter, even as Peter witnessed the stripes that Jesus took upon Himself, Peter was able to share it, and he said, by those stripes, those lashings, that flogging that Jesus took is what brought me healing. Do you know how Jesus was flogged? How Jesus was beaten? The flogging that Jesus went through was 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. A cat of nine tails consisted of fragments of bone and metal and pieces on the leather straps, so that it actually would shred the skin all the way to the innards, even to where the bones would be exposed. And the reason they did it, they only lashed out 39 times because it was of knowledge that 40 would absolutely kill a person. So they'd bring them to the point of death, and then they would nail them to the cross. I want to show you something, and I need you to just be prepared for this. I want to show you what that actually looks like. Because these words are meaningful, but the visual behind it is what we need to see today. Because as I take this bread, and they take this little chunk of bread, and we say this is His body that was broken for me, and I drink this juice, that is blood that was shed for me, I couldn't help but this morning, as we worshiped our God, our risen Savior, and I saw across the pond the empty cross, I saw Jesus and His flesh shredded for me. Not for me, but in my place. And it was that, it's at that place that because I was willing to go there in my own spirit. And I need to, are you guys willing to go here with me for a minute? If you need to turn away, that's fine. You could turn away. If you need to deal with kids, that's fine too. But be careful from hiding truth from our kids. When Blake was 3 years old, he witnessed a passion play at 3 years old. And at that age, he said, at that very age, he came to the conclusion that I want to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. That's crazy. At 3 years old, is because he saw the reality that Jesus loved him so much that he died on the cross for him, and that he was flogged and the crown of thorns was placed on his head, and that pain that he went through was for him at 3 years old. By His stripes we are healed. That's what it looks like. By His stripes we are healed. Not just for me, but in my place. So let's do something. I'm going to take us to another deep place real quick, because this is, again, the depth of where God took me this week. Is if it's very true, if it's absolutely, genuinely true, that my sins are actually forgiven by the blood of Jesus, by the cross of Jesus, because He paid by His sinless life for my sins. If that actually did happen, so then when I come to this place where He says, by His stripes we're healed, and I know that, I remember, Don, you asked me that question, how does that actually happen, or how come that seems... maybe sometimes God wants us to walk through some stuff that He doesn't bring about healing, and I know that. But maybe sometimes, maybe I am just not really understanding it and actually getting the fact. Because how many of you deal with it? Let's go there real quick. Let's go back for a second. No, let's do this. I know this stuff happens in my spirit all the time. So I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Never mind. Let's go forward. If the forgiveness of our sins is wrapped up completely in the finished work of Jesus, how many of you struggle with your forgiveness of your sins? How many of you wrestle with shame and guilt of your own sin? How many of you actually deal with that still to this day? You wrestle with it to just say, you know what? It's hard for me to forgive myself because I've blown it. I've screwed up. I don't know how. Well, if that's the case, then we really don't get it, do we? If I'm still wrestling with it, then I'm not really getting it. Hello? If that's true, if it's absolutely true that Jesus actually he gave his life and gave it for me on the cross, and in that, in our place for my transgressions, it's done. Why do I wrestle with it still? Why? Could it just simply be that I've given room in my mind's place where the memory of my sin, I've let it precede and supersede the memory of who Jesus is and what He actually did? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Your sin is not bigger than me. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Hallelujah! If that's the truth, then could it be possible when we come to the conclusion that by His stripes I'm healed, that those, again, graphic, ready, here it comes, those chunks of flesh, I'll just for a second, because I know it's really vivid, those chunks of flesh that were shredded from Jesus' body were actually, as it was shredding and ripping, every chunk of flesh that was shredded from His body was actually for my healing. So as He was wounded, as He was ripped apart, it was for my healing. As He took this on Him, it was so that I could have healing. It's true. How do you get the peace of God? The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. You only get it through Jesus. The peace of God, the peace from God, only comes through Jesus. So everything that He bore, everything that He went through was for my healing, my forgiveness of my sins, and even to the extent of giving me peace. So what He went through, because how did that happen? How did the peace of God happen? Because as He went through this, listen, God had to look away, turn away from His very own Son. Because He was bearing my sin. And He had to look away and say, I can't look at you. I can't look at you. I can't look at you. The peace that He knew from His Father, that relationship that He knew from His Father, was now disconnected because of the sin that He bore, which was mine and yours. And that's where we get peace, is seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus and doing it, remembering Him, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, all the way to the point of death on the cross. That's what we do when we remember Him. We take that little piece of bread and we drink that nice little tasty cup of juice, but we do it in remembrance of Him. And that remembrance of Him is proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to leave you with a good image, though. Ready? Bam! Ba-bam! Hello! Yeah. That's awesome. Wow. I mean, does it get any better than that? Does it get any better than that? I tried to look up all kinds of images of a risen Jesus, and they're all corny and nice little goofy ones. And it's like, what? Jesus didn't have blonde hair and pretty skin. He didn't. But there was an empty tomb. And that's good. And then God showed me this. Listen to this. This is really good. Listen. That empty tomb, the risen Jesus. As I just asked that, I said, I tried to Google risen Jesus. And the Lord showed me, he said this, just look around. Look around. Look around at the people that I am living in. That's what I look like. I look like each and every one of you, alive in each and every one of you. That's good news. Just look around. You want to see a picture of the risen Jesus? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you got Jesus in your heart? Oh, that's what he looks like. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to one last passage of scripture, and because it just doesn't get any better than this. Luke chapter 24. And I'll leave that up there. You just listen. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Listen, as we take the bread that is his body that was broken, and we drink the cup that it is his blood that was shed, doing that in remembrance of Jesus is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, saying, this is what I stand on. I stand on Jesus and Jesus alone. I need to actually tell you this, and I need to tell everybody in this room this, and I need to speak this very clearly, because in 1 Corinthians 11, he tells us, he goes on and he tells us, if you do this in an unworthy manner, in other words, if you do not proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you take that bread and drink that cup, then that actually is a bad thing. That'll actually make it worse for you. But here's the awesome news. If you do that, if you do and you take the cup, you drink the bread and take the cup, and you do it in remembrance of him, and you know Jesus, I believe it from this moment on, from this day, today will be, and I think it's every time you do it, every time you do it, more victory comes in your life, more revelation comes in your life, more of Jesus comes in your life. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm not, and you say, well, you can't get more of Jesus. Well, you know, you can. Give me an extra minute to digress on something for a second. And really, 1 minute. I believe that God is doing neat things in God's people, and he's doing something. He is actually, by his Spirit, developing more of himself in us and actually removing the fallen nature out of us. That's called sanctification. And the less that we focus on him, the more of our fallen nature takes precedence in our lives. Hello? Yeah, you know, obvious. Look at yourself in the mirror. Sometimes on a bad day, you'll say, yeah, that's the old Eric. And that guy's not very pretty, not very nice either. When I look at myself and I see Jesus in the mirror and I say, wow, that new nature, that new covenant man is actually a spiritual man that my wife actually enjoys being around. I like it when she likes me around. Yeah, it's a nice thing. So as we go forward with the Lord, we remember him. Listen, don't seek the living among the dead. Don't go back to old ways trying to find something that you think might work. Quit manipulating the old system, your old way of doing things. Let Jesus be Lord of your life completely. Do not seek the living among the dead. Hello? Don't go back to the old system. I'll let the Holy Spirit take each and every one of you to a different place there, because that's a good one. So let's get the elements, if you will. As they get it together, I'm going to set a plate on each table. Everybody can take a cup. Everybody can take a chunk of bread. We're all going to do this together as the body of Christ. You know what? As these guys are doing this, passing it out, let me do something. If you can listen and also pay attention with what is happening around, we celebrate the resurrected Christ. Before you put the bread in your mouth, if you have not asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, to come into your heart and fill you with His Spirit, I encourage you, just say yes. Let me just say, and you might say, well, but why? It's like, you know what? This is the best deal that's ever been given to mankind. Free salvation. Free salvation. Not only free salvation, but would you like a little more peace in your life? Cheers. Would you like forgiveness of your sins? Cheers. Is that okay to do in this? Sure. Hey, how about would you like to be healed,
yes,
both physical, mentally, and spiritually? Cheers. Just say yes to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus in your heart. And if this is the first time you've said yes to Jesus, let me know. Or let somebody know. Everybody just about there? Golly. We need some in the back. Brian's good. Oh. It's funny, this bread I'm holding is crumbling apart as I hold it. I wonder if that's symbolic of the body of Jesus. Oh, yeah, it could be just old. It probably did come in. So let us do this together. Let's eat the bread, the body of Jesus that was broken for us. After we've eaten the bread, let us take the cup of the new covenant of that blood that was shed for you and I, for the forgiveness of my sins, for the peace in my soul, for the healing in my entire being. Thank you, Jesus. Let us drink. Amen. Now let us worship the Lord. Celebrate a resurrected day. Have a great day in the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. No going back. Amen. Can you receive that? Linda said, no more shame. Come on. Shame is cruddy stuff. Kick it to the curb. Kick it to the curb, man. This ain't no, ain't no time for that. No business. Nobody, don't let the devil heap any more shame on you whatsoever. By his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Amen.